The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
School principals have to face budgeting decisions every school year. But what if you were faced with the decision between free hot school meals or two new teachers? Which would you choose? Well, that is one decision that has been taken out of the hands of Robert White, who's a principal of Scoil Éadan Éifa in Kildare, who has lost a teacher in this year's allocation, a teacher he would prioritise over the allocation of free hot school meals in his school. And Robert joins me now. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Pat.
You have lost a teacher. Will you explain?
Yes. So, Department of Education set out pupil-teacher ratio guidelines and staffing allocations. And in our situation, the number that we were on, last year we had 161 pupils, and that gave us six mainstream class teachers, as well as our two special classes. And come the 30th of September last year, we had 160. Which meant that because we were down one pupil on the 30th of September, we lost a teacher. So all of our classes went from six mainstream classes to five mainstream classes.
And the impact on the staff-student ratio in those classes?
Oh, it's a lot bigger than you would actually think it is. We went from what was, I think, even though this, statistically they would say that the average should be 22 or 23, we had 26, and now we are over or thereabouts on 30.
Now, why is that? Is it because of the age distribution in the school, or is it because of the special classes that these ratios change so much?
No, it's down to the fact that when you take one teacher out, you've eight extra, you've lost one teacher that can accommodate up to 30 pupils. So when we lost, when our enrollment numbers were down by one that we needed, automatically we just became five classroom teachers, and because we, that, and it's just as simple as that.
Now, you have varying ages, though. So if you're trying to distribute a class in a particular age cohort among other teachers, how do you actually work that one out?
Well, in that case, then you have to split your classes, which means that instead of every class having just junior infants and just senior infants and just first class, etc., you have to double up your classes. So this year we have juniors and seniors in one class, first and second in another, third and fourth, fourth and fifth, and fifth and sixth.
Robert, did you not try to rustle up another student, perhaps?
Well, the strange thing about the situation is that come the 29th of September, we had 161 pupils on our roll. We had a pupil in our school who we've been trying for many years to find him the most suitable schooling situation, which was a special school. And we've been working very hard with the parents for many years. And we are absolutely thrilled when that pupil got his place in the special school. But unfortunately for us, he was enrolled in that special school on the 29th of September. So come the 30th of September, we had 160 pupils instead of the needed 161.
And even if you got extra pupils, say in October, because there can be latecomers and so on, no good. The deadline is the deadline.
Yeah, there is an appeals process, but it's not as easy as just no. And we didn't get that extra pupil, but there is an appeals process there. That if you get an extra enrollment in, or extra enrollments, I should say, in between October and Christmas, you can make an appeal, but it's not just that one pupil. You have to show that there's multiple pupils, and that also that in the year going ahead that you'll be able to sustain it.
Now, in the practicalities then of running a school, you have a staff-student ratio in your classrooms of 30. Did I not read in the programme for government that the ambition was to have a staff-student ratio of 19?
Yes, and a staff-student ratio of 19 would be absolutely brilliant, because all statistics, all analysis say that is where, when you get to under 20 pupils, for pupil-teacher ratio, that is when the real difference happens. But you can hide a lot in statistics as well. Even when we look at it and we say that our statistics say that we are 22 or 23 to 1 right now, that's true, but and it's grand for a wide overview, but you have a couple of schools who have more teachers than pupils. That's an anomaly, but that's taken into account. If you're a deshband 1 or a deshband school, deshband 1 or 2 school, you automatically have less pupil-teacher ratio as well. So that's taken into account into the general statistics as well. So although overall we can look at 22 or 23 pupils as what we have right now, realistically on the ground, it is more likely than not that you're looking at 24, 25, 26 to 1.
Now, the other statement I read from you is that you have hot school meals for which you're very grateful, but that you'd prefer more teachers than hot meals. Explain.
Yeah, look, I think it's a policy design question, Pat. I think like a tailored school-led approach, a needs-based funding flexibility, you know, I think that's what we need to be looking at in the country, because evidence shows that the impact is like of a given intervention, for example, smaller class sizes or free meals, it varies strongly by context. So if we're in a situation where my school doesn't necessarily need to prioritize hot lunches and hot meals, and I know a lot of schools do, and it's fantastic that it's there, but if our school doesn't need to prioritize that, and the funding is there to help pupils attain the highest standards they possibly can in school, could that funding not be tailored to what the school needs in order to benefit the pupils? For example, two extra teachers, which would lessen the pupil-teacher ratio, which would help then have more pupil-teacher contact time every day, and will help will benefit the pupils massively, more than hot lunches that our pupils don't need.
Now, I know you've said that every pupil in your school will bring in a lunch, and there's no problem with that. And therefore, okay, the addition for you is a hot meal versus a sandwich wrapped in foil. But, you know, the theory is, and the philosophy is, if one child doesn't have that resource because of, you know, parental problems or domestic issues or whatever, or simply poverty, that child should get fed, even if it means overfeeding the rest of them.
Absolutely. Now, I don't disagree with that either, but that's where it comes back to the tailored approach. In our school, when you're a DESH school, you're given the autonomy to fine-tune how you impact the pupils you're trying to target. And why can't that be done with our funding as well? Schools could be given the autonomy to say, okay, here is the funding that you are given to improve the learning outcomes and the outcomes in general of the pupils. We would look at evidence-based, okay, we've got five children in our school here who require lunches. What can we do here? Do we need to give all 150 pupils lunches because those five, or can we do something where we facilitate and feed those five pupils and also get the benefit that's needed elsewhere? We need a needlepoint solution okay. to this, as opposed to it being a scattergun approach.
Now, the question of the school meals, the hot school meals, is the service completely seamless for you, or do teachers have to get involved?
It's completely seamless for us. We're very grateful for that aspect of it. The meals are, the parents order everything through the app. It goes straight to the company that's organizing it. The company dropped the lunches into us at about 11 o'clock. It's in their hot lunches. They're in containers that keep them hot. And then our six class pupils love the jobs. Our pupils love the jobs of delivering those lunches. Then just before lunchtime, all the rubbish is gathered up and the company takes it away again. So it's very hands-free for the school. So that is that's a bonus in our situation.
I'm very interested to hear what the kids are doing. The sixth class kids are actually doing a bit of tidy up. I'm sure the caretaker welcomes that help.
It's very simple, really. All the kids take care of their own rubbish in their classes, really. They just put them back into bags and then they close up the lids, and then the sixth class pupils coming around and they collect the boxes that have all the rubbish in them as well. And they're not going around wiping tables and things like that.
Okay, but that's the kind of learning that's important for kids as well. You know, clean up after yourself.
Life skills.
Life skills. Very good. Robert, thank you very much for joining us. It's a very interesting insight into, you know, where you have lies, damn lies and statistics in that order. Robert White, Principal of School Idunefa in Kildare, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.